is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The Game Fireball Hot Take Friday, and the Preds did not play well last night. Floyd, I think you and I would both agree that a good team came into Bridgestone Arena and just ate their lunch last night.
Yeah, I mean, they really played well. Toronto really played well. And I think, you know, if both teams would have played as well as they could, then I agree with you. I think the Preds win. But that team, Toronto, played really well, and the Preds played poorly. And I think the combination leads to the 5-2.
I think, as I said at the top of the show, I think there's going to be a little bit of that. The rest of the season will pack it in. I thought they packed it in a little bit yesterday. PK Subban, no. A lot of other people, I think they packed it in a little bit, Floyd. And I think there will be no pack-in tomorrow. Thomas Willis, who's with the Preds, tweeted out that if the Preds win tomorrow at Minnesota, they will clinch at least second in the Central Division, which would guarantee home ice in the first round. So now there's something to play for tomorrow night at Minnesota. But I just thought they kind of packed it in a little bit, which you can pack it in against some bad teams, but they really packed it in last night. And when you pack it in against a team as fast as Toronto, they flat out embarrass you. And that's what happened. But to me, it was a one-game thing. They've been playing well. They lose. They'll go to Minnesota. And I think they'll play well tomorrow. I'm not guaranteeing that they'll win. I'm not saying that they will win tomorrow. I'm just saying I think we'll see a good effort out of the Predators tomorrow at Minnesota and probably see a good effort on Sunday against Winnipeg. But Coach Laviolette seemed to be pretty disappointed, not just with how they played last night, but how they've been playing. This is what he said after the game.
Coach Ryan Ellis said that he thought, even as this streak was going along, some of the more recent wins maybe you guys got away with. Do you feel that the team hasn't been playing to maybe the level that you've expected of late?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, you look at parts of that Buffalo game, you know, I thought the Colorado game, we played a pretty good game. There's definitely parts of some games where out in Arizona, you know, there's things I don't think we did well. Buffalo, things I don't think we did well. And then when you get the points, it sometimes gives you a little bit of a false sense of we're playing well. And the consistency hasn't been as good as I think it was maybe a little bit earlier. And tonight, I think, was a reflection of that. We were flat tonight.
Floyd Reese, do you agree with the coach that this has been an issue in the last couple of weeks leading up, or the last couple of games leading up into last night? Or do you think, like I do, that last night was an isolated incident?
Well, I think, again, playing at the level we played last night, now this is a bad example, but you understand what I'm trying to get to. Playing at the level they played last night might have been good enough to beat two or three or four of these teams that they've just played. But when you play a better team, that is not good enough. And I think that's what I think that was the point he was trying to make, is that for us to get to, and that's why I keep saying, you know, I think we need to start comparing ourselves with what's it going to take to beat whoever you think the best teams are out there, you know, the best five or six best teams out there. I think you need to say, hey, this level of play will not beat, you know, Winnipeg, will not beat Pittsburgh, will not beat whatever name you want to throw out there. And simply because that's the level you're going to be competing on from now on. I agree with you. I don't, this will sound ugly for somebody whose life was winning. I mean, where this team is now, if they didn't win another game, but played great every game, I'd feel good going to the playoffs.
Agreed.
You know, but if you, and the opposite of that is true too, you know, you may win every game, but if you're playing crappy, then, you know, you're going to struggle like heck in the playoffs. And so, you know, if we play as to the level we've been playing, we'll win plenty of games. We'll have enough wins to, so that when we're going in the playoffs, we're on a hot streak and we're going to be ready to go. And that's what I want. You know, I just want to get to the point where, okay, this is the level of play that we can compete with anybody in the NHL, and this is the level we have to play on every single night.
I agree with everything you say. I have to disagree with what the coach said after the game last night. And the reason I disagree with what Peter said is, like, when you go back to let's just take the road trip out west and then last night against Toronto. Like, I think anytime you watch a pro game, a game film of a pro game, even if you're the UConn, well, they're not pro, but, you know, UConn women's basketball, Gino Auriemma can watch the film and find something he doesn't like. Now, they may win 114-26, but there's going to be some play in there where somebody misses a box out, and Gino will see it, and he'll yell at them in the film session, right?
Yes.
Like, you can always find something you don't like. So I think the coach can do that. I mean, they beat Buffalo 4-0. Now, there were some opportunities that they gave Buffalo where Pecorine made some great saves, and against a team like Toronto, maybe it's harder to make those saves, and maybe if Pekka's not on his A-plus game, like maybe he wasn't last night, he doesn't make those saves, and I see how that can bother the coach. But I thought they played with a really good energy out in Arizona and a come-from-behind win where, you know, they had an offsides that negated a goal. I thought they played great against Colorado Friday night, and I really did, you know, look, 4-0 against Buffalo. So I don't think it was like they were playing poorly leading into last night. Again, I think last night was just an isolated one-game incident.
Well, but where's Buffalo going to be?
Oh, no, Buffalo sucks.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they should have beaten them 8-0. You know, I think that's what the coach is trying to get, the point he's trying to get across.
Like, I mean, when Nick Saban gets upset
after
they beat Nobody State by 44.
Exactly. And I think if you have a good team, at least every coach that I've been with that has a good team, when they win, they pound on them. You know, that's not good enough. Here's the problem, and they go through and list them all. Now, if you play on a rotten team and you get your butt handed to you, I mean, now you're going the opposite. Hey, we'll get so much better. You know, everything's going to be positive because you can't beat that dead horse anymore. And I think that, you know, the opposite is true, too. If you're winning and everything's going good and, you know, well, you don't need any more smoke. You know, you don't need any more people telling you how great you are. You need to realize that you have a chance to be great, but you are not great right now. You are pretty good, but you're not great.
Well, and I think Peter, too, like to his point, like, or to your point that start to show off about how glad you were the Preds got a spanking last night, maybe Peter's using this game to spank them too.
Sure.
Like maybe that him saying what he said was his way of spanking them for their spankable performance.
Agreed.
I'm not getting on him from what I saw on the road trip. Remember I got on him and everybody got mad at me? When I go, I feel like everybody gets mad at me every day. I think it's just easy to get mad at me. And so anywho, so I got on them. We got on them when they beat the Blues. Because they beat the Blues. They were down 3-0. They score 3 goals in the third period. And Philip Forsberg hits the penalty shot in overtime. And they end up winning. And everybody was like, resiliency, effort, dedication, focus, team. Go, team, go. And you and I were like, okay, but let's address what happened in periods 1 and 2. And everybody got mad at me for that. I don't feel that way about these wins that they had out west. Like the way that they won that St. Louis game where we were on the air the next day saying, hey, hold up. Before we get too fired up, Chris Mason, about their comeback win, let's just, you know, should we be worried about periods 1 and 2? And I don't feel that way about the ones on the road trip. I almost feel like Peter's making it a big deal when it's not a big deal, because maybe this is the only time that he can make it a big deal before they get to the playoffs. It's kind of like if your wife gets mad at you about something really small, but then she makes it into a much bigger discussion when really it's just something very small and it should only be left as very small. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt but that he's using this as a learning tool, if you will. You know, a way to get the point across that, hey, this is not good enough. And I mean, I think Ellis is doing the same thing. Now, he's being honest, you know, in his world, he's being honest. But, you know, if you hadn't won any games all season long, you wouldn't be saying things like that about your team. You know, you ask people on teams that are really bad and they're always, hey, we're going to get it together. Things are getting better. We played a little better. I know we
Mike
haven't
Mularkey.
Won. Yeah, I know we haven't won, but And but the coaches on good teams are saying, "Oh no, we played rotten. We were bad."
I guess I just, you know, back to I get it. I understand like the mental difference for a coach. And Peter knows coaching in and out. I mean, I really do respect him, his coaching, and he's got a team like a Belichick or Saban team, and he's coaching like a Belichick or a Saban would coach. And I get it. And I'm for it. I'm not saying he's doing the wrong thing. I'm just saying on the surface of what he said, I disagree with it because I don't think the games before this past game were an issue to me. And then the other question has to be, okay, now, and we'll get to this on the other side, but what do we expect out of them after what happened and after that verbal spanking from the coach and after Ryan Ellis got on them last night? I mean, do we expect them to go out there and blow the doors off of Minnesota tomorrow? I don't know. We'll get to that next, and we'll take your calls on the Preds. Your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Preds after their loss last night to Toronto, kind of bringing them and maybe some of us down to earth a little bit for the Golden State Predators. 615-737-1025 is the number on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Boy, I love telling all of you about Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. It tastes so good, and it goes down so smooth. And I know a lot of you all have something special to celebrate this weekend. And if you do, celebrate it with Fireball. Fireball Cinnamon Weekend. You're going out with your buddies. I got buddies in town. Going to go out with the buddies, and you know what? I'm going to order up some nice ice-cold Fireball whiskey shots. That's right. It's a real whiskey. It's not a liqueur. And for anyone that tries to tell you that those new wannabe Fireballs are a whiskey-like Fireball, they're lying. They're wrong. It's not. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey goes down so smooth, tastes so great. Please ignite the night responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. It's Jared and the GM live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Income Mount Juliet on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ryan, what sticks out to you about this one tonight?
Yeah, I think we deserved every second of that. Good team came in here, played a lot better than us, and I think you look at this stretch we've had of whatever 14, 15, 16 games with points or whatever it is. We've been squeaking out wins. We've been finding ways to win, but that's not playoff hockey, and I think we've got away with that for some time, and they finally caught up with us playing a really good team, and give them credit. They were so much better than us tonight.
The coach is mad. The players are mad after last night's loss to Toronto, but Floyd again, Ryan Ellis, doing the same thing Peter Laviolette said after the game and saying it's much bigger than just how they played last night. Which, again, is a take I disagree with, but you know what? If it makes them play better, then good. So, with that being said, what do we expect out of them tomorrow night when they go to Minnesota? Forget the result. Forget the win or loss, but just what we expect to see on the ice when they play tomorrow at Minnesota, and a win guarantees them home ice in round one. What do you make of what we should see tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll be shocked if they don't go out and play well. I mean, I don't know that they'll win, but I think they will go out and play well. And my gut tells me if they go out and play well, they'll win. So, I mean, I'm thinking something really positive is going to happen. I don't think there's any need to, you know, I mean, it sounds to me like they all understand what happened, and I haven't heard any disagreements, so I think they're all on the same page, and I think they'll go out and play well. Like I said, I don't think they'll be foaming at the mouth, but I think they will play playoff caliber hockey.
I look at it, I agree. Like, I think they're going to play really hard and all that. But I'm, like, to me, I look at the other side of it. If they don't, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, if they go out there and they throw together two games where we, and again, not talking about the result, not talking about what win or loss, but if they go out there and they don't play good hockey tomorrow night, I'm going to be upset.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play good hockey Sunday, I'm going to be really upset. Mm-hmm. Because clearly the coach and the assistant captain, or associate captain, I think is what Ellis' title is, if the coach and the associate captain are getting on the team for how they've been playing, you expect them to respond better the next night. You expect to see after that spanking, you expect them to, on some level or another, learn their lesson. And so I think I'm going to be a little disappointed if I don't see that tomorrow out there on the ice. And there's been times this year where I thought, oh, for sure, they're going to go out there and they're going to bring it. And they haven't. Like the night I guaranteed the win over Calgary, and they went out there and they looked like they were the team that was on the sixth game of an 11-day road trip, not Calgary. So I mean, I'm done trying to predict what this team's going to do because I seem to be wrong a
Yay!
Fair amount of the time.
Yay! That is good idea.
But I do expect them to play hard tomorrow. I expect good hockey tomorrow. And I'm almost starting to sweat here now that I'm getting all worked up about expecting them to play good hockey. Let's go to your phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. Harry is up next here on the show. What's up, Harry?
Hey, Jared, I don't think it's not that we don't like you. It's sometimes what you say that we don't like. And the second thing, I think the Leafs had to come to Babcock meeting before they came to us because of the three-goal loss, or they blew a three-goal lead the other night, and I was hoping they'd blow a four-goal lead last night. But I think you'll see the Preds playing better.
I mean, again, like I want to be on your side with that, and I appreciate your call. And there probably is something to the fact that the Leafs had a three-goal lead at Tampa, blew it, and then they come to you, and they get Austin Matthews back. I mean, there's probably something to that, putting some juice in the pants of Toronto last night. But at the same time, like, I'm not concerned because I think last night was just a one-game thing. Like, I thought they were going to go – we're all familiar with spring break, right? Well, maybe not you, Floyd. But we're all familiar with spring break. And I remember they used to give us the Friday before spring break off. So you'd have 4 days and then you'd have Friday off. And I always thought that was so weird. Like, we have a week for spring break, but we also get the Friday off. And the reason being that so many people would go out of town on that Friday, so they just decided to give them the Friday off. People were out to lunch. They were, hey, thank you, see ya, I'm out to lunch. And I knew at some point after the Predators clinched last weekend with 3 weeks of hockey left to play, I knew at some point there was going to be a game where they were out to lunch. And I think that was what we got last night. And I felt like there was a lot of panic from the fans. And even the coach and Ryan Ellis kind of getting on them a little bit, where I just want to be like, guys, they're out to lunch. They're just kind of taking one off. And when you take one off against a team that's not as fast and not as potent offensively as Toronto with Austin Matthews back in the lineup, you lose the game 3-2 instead of 5-2. But when it is Toronto or it is Tampa or it is Boston and you're out to lunch, then it's 5-2, 6-1, and now all of a sudden everyone's like, holy smokes. And I'm like, guys, it's okay. It's natural. You accomplished your goal, and you took a little bit of a mental break.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that yesterday. I think the point they're trying to make, again, and we've talked about this. I mean, over the last however many games, you know, we've talked the day after and said, wow, boy, the first two periods, they were just awful. But, man, that third period, they lit it up. Those kinds of things that will not be good enough against playoff-caliber teams. And I think that's what they're driving at, is they're driving at, right, last night was the culmination of a bunch of these, well, we took a period off or we took two periods off or we started really well and didn't finish it all, or we, you know, all the things that – and again, we're kind of pointing out things that, you know, a lot of people, if you win, you don't really care about. But we're not talking, we're talking about trying to win the whole darn thing here, which means you've got to play three periods every game, every series. And I think that's why they're pushing it. That's why they're pushing all that other stuff.
And it's okay when the series start to have that kind of mindset of, hey, three periods every game, got to be focused, got to outwork everybody for every loose puck. I'm not sure the Preds got to a loose puck first last night. And if they did, it was PK. He was the only one. But, again, I'm not too bent out of shape about it. Somebody tweeted in to Nick Kale and said, oh, this show, Russell on Twitter, says this loss will give at Jared Stillman 30 hot takes tomorrow on how bad the Preds are now. Unfortunate for Floyd because he'll have to sit there for 4 hours listening. I don't have any hot takes, and it's Hot Take Friday. The only take I have, again, is it's okay that they packed it in last night. It's okay. It's okay that there's going to be a couple of these down the stretch where the Preds don't show up. it's fine. Now, if they were really gutting for a playoff spot right now, if they were the Florida Panthers and they absolutely had to win and they did something like that, I'd be screaming and moaning and groaning and ranting and raving. But they're not. They're not the Titans the last week of the year where win and you're in and you're flying a plane over the stadium at the Music City Bowl hoping to get people for some reason to come to your game. It's not that way right now. The season tickets are sold out for next year. The Preds are going to be fine. They're going to bring it in the playoffs. Last night's loss was an isolated incident of when you don't bring your A game and somebody brings theirs, they can beat you.
Well, again, I mean, you can say that. But when we look back on these last few games, and we have all said it, the coaches have said it, you and I have said it, Ian, Rye, boy, the first couple of periods, they were off with it. And you can't get in the playoffs and turn that on now. You know, you can't all of a sudden say, okay, it's Monday, let's start playing three periods here. I mean, that's not the way it works, both mentally, from a conditioning standpoint, all of those things.
No, I agree. I totally agree. But there's still 2 weeks of hockey left to play. It's not like they're playing the playoffs tomorrow. And that's kind of why I keep saying isolated incident. If it's not an isolated incident, if it's something where, you know, they go with a week and a half of doing this, well, I'm going to be the panic button is going to be so jammed in that you can't unjam it.
But I think what Peter's saying is they have done that for a week and a half. It's been a week and a half or 2 weeks since they have done what you're trying to get done. And now,
do you agree with him? Do you think he's right? Because I disagree with that take. I agree that that's his take, but I disagree with his take.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. Jared, we look at all these games. We have not come in. I shouldn't say this. That's an exaggeration. But seldom have we come in and said they played all three periods. That was a great, you know, I mean, we crushed. And it's always been, wow, we didn't, you know, that first period was, woof, that was awful. But, man, we got excited and lit it up and play. I mean, we talk all the time about, well, they went in intermission and Peter must have really chewed their butts out because they came out after that and really got it going.
Well, the Winnipeg game last week, that was, now you're right, they played the junior varsity Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean,
Jets.
That team wasn't even Winnipeg, you know,
but the way they played,
the only
that
thing
game.
I think that's the my only point is, I think that's where Peter's getting some of this alarm, and I think that's maybe where those other guys are saying they've been chewed out at these intermissions for playing two bad periods, and now all of a sudden, you know, you got to come out and score three goals in a period to tie it up and then win it in overtime. Well, that's great, and I'm glad that you won. And like you said, we've talked about them being resilient, and you know, that third period, they were really focused, and they – all of those things, and all of that is right. But my point is, you know, we're going to be in a couple of weeks here where you're going to have to do that every night, and you don't just flip that switch on.
No, I agree with you, but – I mean, they beat Buffalo 4-0. You're right, Buffalo.
Buffalo, give me a break.
You're talking about junior varsity.
Yes,
I mean, it's, you know, like I. But they did beat them 4-0. So I guess I see what Peter's saying. I just think it's not that big of a deal. Which, by the way, we gotta address like why the fans last every time. First of all, everybody on Twitter, when Victor Arvidsson scores, I get it. It doesn't mean that I'm going to change my take about a 7-year contract 1 year into it. So stop tweeting me every time he scores.
You never did like Arvidsson. I can't figure
out. I love Arvidsson.
He's such a
love
great
him.
Player. Great
I
guy.
I love Arvidsson.
He is
good player. Seems like a good guy.
Thing, and you have been down on him for 2 years. I can't figure it out.
No. Don't give me the 2 years. You were the one that was down on him last year. I am not. Yeah, I loved him at $600,000. Loved him. thought he was great. Then at 4.25, I was a little nervous. And he is worth the 4.25 this year. But it's the 7 years that I'm like, you know, is he really going to be hustling as much as he is in 7 years? I don't know. And so everybody gets, every time he scores, they get mad at me. That the Fang Fingers TN, they do a lot of Creative Predators t-shirts. Somebody sent me a picture on Twitter of a t-shirt that says he's a 30 goal scorer, Jared, which is something Robbie Stanley tweeted at me one time. And I really hope they start selling those because I am going to buy one and wear it.
I need one of those so badly.
They need to sell it. Somebody call that guy. Tell him they need to sell it. Floyd, would you wear one if they gave it to you?
Sure.
Okay.
I love
so
RV. He's my
guy. I am an Arvidsson fan. I don't need to have every time he scores, you all tweet me. Or when they lose, people tweet me and say it's my fault. It's not my fault. I didn't guarantee they'd beat Toronto last night. I just thought that they would pack it in after Toronto. I didn't think they'd pack it in before Toronto. We'll take more of your calls on the Preds. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We've got some Titan stuff to get to as well. And we also got some NFL stuff to get to and the Floyd Reese Draft Academy in 30 minutes. It's Jared and the GM right here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN at 1025 The Game.
Hartnell, he's down in the corner on the right wing side. And the puck is flipped up, fed ahead by Bozak down the left wing side. And now Ellis puts a hit in the corner on Connor Brown, and the Leafs put the puck in the net behind Pekka-Rinne again for a 5-1 lead.
We just weren't off the mark quick enough. We need to play a fast game. We need to play a team fast game, and we were second.
Peter Laviolette on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So, Floyd, again, it's not my fault that the Predators lost. I have taken blame for exactly one loss this season, which I think is fair, the Calgary loss, where I guaranteed a victory. Brandon on Twitter says, you are no longer allowed to say on the air, if Pekka gets a shutout tonight, I love the program, but you jinx the Preds. I'm not buying it.
I'm all for it. He's exactly right.
Why?
He's exactly right. You got way over your skis with all this. Well, we have to do it against them because that's the Canadian press, and they carry a lot of weight, and it'll really make a difference in his, his attempt to get the Hart Trophy. I mean, you went on and on and on and on.
I got to say this. I feel really bad for Pekka because last night probably ended any shot he had of the Hart Trophy, and I don't think it was his fault. Like, I think he kept them in that game in the first period. It could have been 4-0 in the first period. Like, the way that they were getting to the net, they were getting pucks at the net. I mean, at one point I looked up, they had like 16 shots, you had 5. Like, that's your building you played in. I know there were a lot of Leafs fans there last night, but it was your building. Like, you should be shooting the puck more. So, I mean, again, I hear all you all, but I just kind of... It's not my fault. It's not my... Hey. Yesterday's show was a great show. As I said earlier, I brought my A game to Bridgestone Arena yesterday. I need them to bring their A game to Bridgestone Arena. And speaking of that, Peter Laviolette was talking about it being a fast game because, oh, look, the Preds are a fast team and Toronto's a fast team and the two teams playing fast. And this is what Peter said when he talked about the speed in the game.
The game is that fast and the margin for error, therefore, is so slim. What adjustments can you make to be able to mitigate some errors that happen?
One team was fast. The other team wasn't fast. So that's, to me, that's where you get the lopsided. The ice seems to tilt one way, and we've done that too. And it's just like I said, we're off the mark with regard to that tonight, and we'll look to fix it and be better. But they played a fast game. We needed to play a quicker game, a faster game. So to answer your question, we needed more speed. More speed, more team speed, more game speed, more identity speed, and we're just off.
How about Peter right there? One team was fast. His team.
He jumped on it, too.
Let me ask you a question about Toronto. One last thought on Toronto,
yes. And
then we'll move on. What about them in a cup final? If you get Toronto in a cup final, they beat you twice this year. If you get Toronto in the cup final, how would you feel about them after seeing their speed and their high-end talent yesterday? Because they're one of them. They're one of a handful of teams in the East who probably, if things break their way, have a shot. Washington, Boston, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Tampa.
I mean, the truth is, I worry, and we've talked about this before. I mean, I worry about some of those teams. This is the way it appears to me. The teams that we're playing in the West, you know, the Anaheims and the San Jose's and the I mean, those guys are thumpers, you know? They're not gazelles, but they are thumpers. Now, when you go to the other side of the country, you don't get as much of the thumping as you do the flying. I mean, those guys can skate. And I think I see all those teams up and down, and I'm thinking to myself, I mean, there is a lot of speed. And I think that's the one thing we noticed when we played Pittsburgh last year, you know, how the speed of the game just changed. And so that's the one thing concerns me. Now, it doesn't mean there aren't, you know, fast teams that we play. I mean, we all know there are, but there are a lot more big, strong. It's like we always talk about Anaheim, you know, like you always say, well, you play Anaheim and you beat them in a series, but you lose the next series because after you play Anaheim. And I think there is a lot more of that in the West than there is in the East.
There's no doubt about that. Like the East, remember the first two games of the season where the Predators didn't play great, but the first two games of the season, Boston and Pittsburgh, and they were lighting the Preds up on the scoreboard, and it was like, whoa, two games into the season, and Boston and Pittsburgh are lighting them up on the... That's because they're so fast.
Right.
In the Cup Final last year, when you lost your focus for just a little bit, Pittsburgh in the same period goes bang, 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 scores three goals. I think that happened twice. Like, that is the difference between the speed you play in the West, where there's one team I think that you play that's capable of that, and it's Winnipeg, and they're still more thumper than like Toronto or Boston is, and then there's what we saw out of Pittsburgh, where at times in the Cup Final last year, bang, 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 and that's exactly what Toronto did last night, was they just kept the pressure on. I mean, I thought the Preds were surely going to get a goal at some point they get them back into that game, and they just never did until, I mean, I even thought down 3-1 going into the third, I thought they had a shot, and you come right out to begin the third period, they score to make it 4-1, and at that point, game over.
Well, and it seemed like they, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I think when they started, Pekka really played pretty well because they were like a swarm of bees. I mean, they were everywhere. And Pekka was having to make stop after stop after stop. And then, you know, I kind of settled down. You think, okay, we're going to hang in here. And then they get one. And then it seemed like you settled down a little bit again. And then 2 and 3, you know, just back to back, whack, whack. And you go, wow, that was fast. You know, what happened there? And then again, 4 and 5, it seemed like we're fast. You know, you're going along and you're hanging in there, and the next thing you look up, it's 5-0, and you're going, how did that happen? And so I think that's what you're talking about with Pittsburgh. That's Pittsburgh-like stuff, you know, where you think you're in good shape, and, you know, you're scoring goals with regularity, but they have that ability to put together a couple of goals just within, you know, very short time. And all of a sudden, you're, you know, at a point so far behind, it's going to be hard as heck to catch up.
Did last night, like, maybe make you think in your head at least a little bit? Like, did it make you consider on some level that maybe they need to beat Tampa when they play Tampa in a couple of weeks just so that they know that they can beat the best of the East? They played Tampa here. I think they lost in overtime. They lost in overtime at Toronto. They lost at Pittsburgh. They lost at Boston. I mean, so you're losing at those top East teams. Do you need to beat Tampa at Tampa when you play Tampa so that you can say, hey, look, we're on the road to Tampa, beat Tampa, we're fine?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. Now that you mention it, I mean, maybe there's something to it. I mean, it would certainly be nice to go out and play really, really well against a little bit different style of play and show that so that you have the confidence that you know you can do all that. And they've done it before. I mean, they know that. But I think, you know, whenever something like this happens, you know, there's a lot of reflection, which is a good thing. I mean, that's a real positive. And I think all of a sudden, you know, the guys are sitting around talking like they probably are today, you know, sitting around lockers and, wow, you know, they scored a couple of those goals pretty quick, you know. And, yeah, they were swarming around and we didn't skate very fast. And so at least that emphasis is brought up. So the next time you go out and you play somebody like this, I mean, you are crank from the beginning.
Be sure to listen to Preds Insiders tonight, presented by New Life Regenerative Medicine, as David Poile and Brian Poile sit down with our very own Ryan Porth. That's Preds Insiders tonight, 6 o'clock, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by New Life Regenerative Medicine. And this is a big and, you can keep up with everything in Smashville by following us on Facebook at thegamenashville.com or at facebook.com/thegamenashville, Twitter at 102.5 The Game, and Instagram at The Game Nashville. You can follow me on Twitter at Jared Stillman. The blue check mark lets you know it's me. And on Instagram at The Jared Stillman. And Floyd, guess what I'm going to do for the people on Instagram?
What's that?
So I am at an undisclosed location today. Floyd is back in our Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc., Mount Juliet. But I'm in an undisclosed location that I'm keeping a secret that no one can know where I am. But I will Instagram story where I am. So people, if they're interested, need to follow me now at The Jared Stillman on Instagram, and then you can find out where I am doing this show from. How do you like that?
What happens if nobody responds?
Then I'll feel really sad. Very sad. I'll cry a little bit. Jared and the GM coming up next. Some interesting Titans news to get into. We will do that. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That's what's important about these meetings for him. They're not interviewing Ndamukong Suh. He's interviewing them. He's trying to figure out how will I be used. What do you see me contributing to your team? And that's from a locker room standpoint, but for him more so on the field, what will I do in the nickel package? Mm-hmm. You go with a guy like Aaron Donald, and when you get to four down linemen and five defensive backs, could you imagine figuring out who to double team out of those two guys? But you can't make him a two gapper. You have to make him a guy who's going to attack and get after the quarterback and put pressure into his face. And the team that tells him you can do that best here and you can also win is the team that gets him, because that's how you keep him competitive. That's how you keep him motivated.
Ryan Clark on NFL Live on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. That was Ryan Clark talking about Ndamukong Suh. Sue's got four teams now, according to Yahoo Sports. He is at home in Oregon, and he is entertaining offers from the Titans, the Saints, the Rams, all of whom he's visited, and the New York Jets, who he didn't visit, but apparently the Jets offered Ndamukong Suh a bunch of money. And so now, because of that, they've gotten themselves into the equation as well. But Floyd, before we talk any more about Ndamukong Suh, because we've basically talked about him every day this week, just how vital is he? Like, how much better does he make the Titans? How important is he to the mix? Are we wasting our time talking about him this much? Or if they get him and Casey, it's like having Kevin Carter and Javon Curse? Because I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think two things happen here. When you bring in somebody of that caliber, first of all, and you've heard me talk about this before, but the young players, the players on that defense that maybe don't quite understand what it takes to be a really, really good player, can see some of the things that he does and realize they can do those things too. And I think that it helps from that standpoint. That's why it's so important, if you bring a guy in like this, that he is a good practice guy, that he is a good meeting guy, that he is good in the locker room and all. Because, you know, chances are there are going to be some of these young players look at him and think, wow, that guy's signing a bunch of big-time contracts and, you know, whatever he does must be the right way to do things. So you want to bring in somebody that's positive, because he will have an influence on someone. And the other thing is, he is going to help other players in that defense be better. He's going to help Casey be better. He could help Arakpo be better. He could help whoever the middle linebacker ends up being be better, and could certainly help the secondary be better if he can get any kind of pass rush at all. But the biggest problem that a guy like that creates inside, if you have another good DT, is you can't double them both. And so you have to make a choice. All right, this time I want to get Casey. Next time we'll get Sue. Well, one of those times you're going to be wrong. And whenever either one of those guys are matched up one-on-one on a guard, I mean, that's tough work. That's hard for those guards.
I know, and I agree, but every time I bring this up, I know this makes you uncomfortable, but I bring up the, okay, so does that make them one of the best defenses, or does that make them a top defense, or does that put them over the top to where with Butler and Sue, they can go to New England and beat the Patriots in the playoffs. Like, what tangibly does that make the Titans defense if they get Ndamukong Suh?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. I mean, I don't know how to put a number on that. I mean, they were, where'd we say yesterday? They were 13th or something?
Yes, 13th last year.
13th in the league. Does it raise them to, you know, 8, 9, 10? I mean, I would like to say it does. But, I mean, I think we have to keep in mind that even last year, to be 13th, I mean, we played Houston without a quarterback. We played Indy twice without a quarterback. We played Jacksonville twice and actually beat them. But, I mean, some of the teams that we played were teams that defensively you were gonna score well against. By that, I mean, you know, you were going to play well against them. Well, I don't know. You know, you can be a pretty good defense and still not stop New England or Philly or Deshaun Watson as he put up 54 on us. Or, you know, I mean, it goes on and on and on. I mean, I think there are going to be a bunch of better players. You may actually play better and as a group perform better and your numbers be less than they were this year.
Would you? Okay, how about this? I just thought about this. Would you compare Deshaun Watson putting 54 points up on you in one game to how the Preds played last night?
Yeah, I guess. I hadn't thought isolated of it that incident. Way, but
they were good the week before, and they were good after that. And I thought the Titans' defense last year was a decent defense. Butler's a good player. All of you guys tell me Sue is a great player. You add two great players to a decent defense, that should make them a really good defense.
Didn't I just talk about this?
I know.
Do we have our listening ears on today?
I'm not a long day.
It doesn't. You compare. Who do you want to play? Do you want to play Indy without Luck or New England Patriots with Tom Brady?
I want to be able to win that playoff game in Foxborough.
Do you want to play? And I think if you go through that, I mean, we've already seen, is Jacksonville's defense pretty good? Like number one in the league?
Yes.
Did they beat New England?
They came close.
Did they beat them? The answer is no.
But your quarterback is better than Jacksonville's.
Yes, but it's going to be hard to beat anybody if you can't stop Tom Brady. And, you know, are we going to be good enough to stop Tom with all those guys? I mean, probably not. But
I think the Titans are a lot closer to the Super Bowl than people give them credit for. That's my opinion.
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't say they were knocking on the door. I just said I think they're closer than people will give them credit for.
Well, I just compare them to the teams in our division, you know, the teams that are right here that we know about. And I think there's, you know, in my mind, there's one team that I think we're better than, maybe even with Luck. And then there's one I know. There's one I know we're not better than, which is Jacksonville.
Even though you beat them twice.
Right. And then you've got the Texans. And, you know, if they're healthy and all those guys are back, I don't think we're better from a personnel standpoint than they are.
615-737-1025. But coming up next, there's five guys. There's Sam Darnold. There's Josh Rosen. There's Josh Allen. There's Baker Mayfield. And some people include Lamar Jackson in that group. How would Floyd go about finding a franchise quarterback? That's the next topic on the Floyd Reese Draft Academy, the next lecture, how to find your franchise quarterback. That's next. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.